Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from the virtual Business Radio X studio. We're not in Renaissance Bank right now due to social distancing directives, but we'll be back hopefully sometime soon. But we still love the folks at Renaissance. They're terrific. They've been doing some pretty heavy-duty work here over the last couple of weeks on PPP loans and what have you. As we record this show, this is Friday the 17th. The window for PPP loans is closed, but there's more funding rumored. The point is you need to be in touch with your Renaissance banker on this and get with them to get the latest. Give them a call. If you want to go in to see them, you can do that, but you need to make an appointment in the branch, and you can go through the drive-thru anytime. So check out the folks there, give them a call, or go to renaissancebank.com, Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now we turn to a friend of mine, a guest that I've known for a while, and wanted to get her on to talk about her business, Smith & Lake. It's Dawn Smith, and she's the owner-partner of Smith & Lake. Dawn, welcome.
Hi, John. Nice to see you on Zoom.
That's right. Nice to see you. So tell us about you. Tell us about Smith & Lake. How do you help folks?
So I am Dawn Smith, and I am a lawyer that specializes in helping families and children get fair results in disputes that they might find themselves in. I've been doing this about 30 years. I won't tell you exactly how long because it would tell you how old I was. But I have a small firm. There are four lawyers, three paralegals, and we really are dedicated to getting fair and equitable results for families who find themselves in some of the hardest disputes and instances in their lives.
You've been doing this 30 years. You must have started when you were like five or six. I mean, what?
Yeah, really. I was like, you know, barely out of diapers. But I have been doing this a long time.
Yeah. Wow. You've seen a lot of changes, certainly in family law and as time has gone on, but we're in a particular, and we can talk about some of that in a minute, but we're in a particularly interesting time, interesting, I guess, in quotes, time for family law issues, right? I mean, like issues like co-parenting.
It is a crazy time for families. So even if they're not in the midst of a dispute, you know, I am struck by the situation that families find themselves in. Mm-hmm. They are sheltering in place 24/7. You know, people who are trying to work their jobs, or if they've lost a job, get a new job, or have become pretty much full-time school teachers, nannies, and entertainers. And even in the best of situations, that creates incredible stress. But many of the families that we work with already were in a stressful situation that really was crisis, because divorce is considered crisis and a trauma, or a dispute is a crisis or a trauma. So they are finding themselves in a heightened level of anxiety and uncertainty and fear.
Yeah. So what advice do you give folks that are, I mean, I know every situation's different. Every situation, you know, every family is a snowflake. I mean, it's a unique situation is what I mean by that metaphor. You've got folks that are in pain to begin with, as you said, and now they may have trouble just handing kids off to each other across town.
Right. So, you know, the first thing I really advise people, and we'll get down to the nitty gritty of it, is to breathe. My experience over the past several decades and in working with children and working with mental health professionals and kids is that the healthier you are, the better off your children are going to be. Mm. And whether or not you're in a dispute or not, that is really true. So to breathe, be mindful, practice some self-care, because your kids are going to take your cues from you. The other thing I tell people who are either in the middle of maybe separation or divorce, or have already divorced and they have a parenting plan, is to, one, be healthy, and to try to maintain some level of communication with your co-parent so that you can make sure you're practicing the same type of guidelines health-wise in both households, because it's going to take an increased level of coordination to make sure that you and your children stay safe. I also advise people that to be compliant with existing court orders, and that blows a lot of folks' minds. It scares a lot of people because they're like, what do you mean? My child needs to be in my house. I've got to send them out with, you know, ex-husband and his girlfriend, and I don't know what they're doing. And absent some extraordinary facts, the courts in Georgia are being very clear with us that you need to comply with the existing parenting plan orders, which is why, to the maximum extent possible, you know, communicate. In the event you can't comply, I have lots of people that are doctors, right, that are on the front lines. I have people that work other essential services are on the front lines and have sacrificed and made the decision to not be with their children because of exposure. Mm. Then we need to be creative. We need to find ways to keep children connected to both parents in this extraordinary circumstance. And we all know we've gotten really creative in how we're communicating, doing podcasting, going to not going to our banks, doing all those things. So to be creative. And finally, I really advise people to be transparent and have a generous spirit, because this is extraordinary. It's a once in a lifetime thing. And I know all the parents out there are most concerned with the welfare of their children.
Sure.
So what we know is this is a traumatic event in addition to the divorce their parents are going through. So let's lessen that trauma to the kids.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard this whole situation being compared to grief, that we're all in grief, whether we know it or not. We're in some stage of grief, anger, denial, bargaining, what have you. And so you're layering that on top of a tough situation to begin with when it comes to co-parenting and a divorce and what have you.
And the other thing that I've heard that's absolutely right is that from mental health professionals is at a baseline level, we are functioning 30% less productive and effective and sort of 30% off of our game, right? So we're parenting at a baseline level, 30% off our game. That's not our fault. That's not to make people feel bad. But I think to realize we're already 30% off before we lay on top job loss or COVID exposure. And so we want to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves so we can take care of our kids.
Folks, if you just joined us, we're speaking with Dawn Smith, and she's the owner and partner in Smith & Lake, a legal firm, law firm. Don, let's back up and talk about you. And I mean, why family law? I'm always curious about why folks got into the practice that they're in. What brought you into family law, and what keeps you there? Because it can be pretty stressful practice, right? Because you're dealing with people in pain, and they do they can do and say some crazy things sometimes, right?
Yeah. So I'll start with that second question first. Yes, they can do some crazy things, but I also feel like, you know, families are the building blocks of our society. So that if I want to have whatever small little bit of impact on helping us have a better society, it is my little part of helping families navigate really difficult situations in a way that create healthier kids on the other side of it. And how I got here which I would probably answer that question differently at different times in my life. I would tell you that now I know that I got here because apparently I was destined to be here. My parents divorced when I was 12 years old and did not speak again until I was 40. So I lived through when my now husband brought them together at a surprise birthday party. Imagine that.
Wow.
So I lived through lovely people, not at their best, creating an unhealthy relationship for their kids. So I lived through that. And then, so what did I say? I would never get divorced and never say never. When my children were very young, I found myself divorcing from their father. So I was recreating that. And at that point, I was a family lawyer, but a younger family lawyer, obviously. And that has been about 16 years ago. And I did not have the same co-parenting relationship with him. We celebrate Christmases together because it's what's best for my kids. So I lived it on a couple of different levels. And it is what brings me alive. It is messy, but it's also the messiness of life. I think being human is messy. So kind of like working with messes.
God bless you, because we need folks like you doing it for sure. So what obviously we when we hear about family law, we hear about, you know, the children come first. And that's not just a saying, that's a legal concept, I think. I'll let you correct me on that. But what's the most important thing that you can do to put kids first, to protect children during a divorce or during a marital dispute?
So I'll say the same thing again. You can step back and breathe. You can realize you're not at your best. You can have a support network. And you can realize what a good friend who is a therapist told me years and years ago, or that children really view themselves as one half of each parent. And so if you are dogging the other parent, the kid interprets that as you are dogging them. So I think what you can do is fight your urge, which in the middle of it is to grab, push away the other person, push them away, and realize that it's best for the children if you fight those urges, and go talk to grownups about it, but not your child. Right. The number one indicator of child health post dispute between their parents is the level of conflict. And what we know from the research is that it tells us that the level of conflict can impact a child's future, with regard to romantic relationships, substance abuse, and in some studies have shown that can even impact their cognitive abilities. John, it is really hard to lose IQ points. But this is one way you can make sure your kids do, is to not handle it well.
Wow. That's fascinating in a terrible way, actually. And that's really hard, though, for people to do when they're in the middle of anger and denial and grief. And speaking of the stages of grief, right? Because that's right. You go through that when a marriage falls apart.
Right. But I don't think that means, when I say that don't expose your kids to it, I think it's important that kids see us get mad. They don't always have to know what we're mad about and work through it. And similarly, it's okay to be sad. They just want to know that mommy or daddy's going to survive the sadness, right? And that we're not going to have them parent us in order to get us through it. So it is a hard time, but I can tell you, I've lived through, and I hold the light for my clients and all those people out there, that I do know it gets better. You know, nothing is permanent. Impermanence is, you know, part of who we are, and is pretty much scientifically impossible to feel exactly the same way forever.
Right. For sure.
It will get better.
For sure. Folks, we're speaking with Dawn Smith, and she's a owner of Smith & Lake, a family law firm based in Tucker, Georgia. Dawn, what I'm wondering how much of your job, the work that you do with people, is legal versus kind of amateur therapist in a way. I mean, you're not, you don't have a degree in therapy. I don't think, I don't see that in my show notes. Maybe you do, but you do some of that, right? I mean, because that's a necessary part of what you do that doesn't exist quite as much in other branches of the law.
Yeah. So there is, you know, we are called counselors at law.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like to pretend like I'm a therapist, but I am not at all a therapist. So people to varying degrees, yes, I do some of that.
Mm-hmm.
It is very common for me to say to people, because I believe this, you deserve support. I can do this for you, but I think you deserve more than I can offer. Please talk to your priest, your rabbi, your therapist, because I believe that you deserve that.
Mm.
But I do a lot of listening to feelings. I frequently mediate. I serve as a mediator for cases.
Mm.
And, you know, day before yesterday, so I had a 9-hour mediation. And the first 2 to 3 hours are about me hearing what people feel like.
Mm.
And it's after we do that, then we can get to solution.
Mm.
And you can't short circuit that.
Right. Right. Let's talk about the financial aspects of a divorce. So, how does that get determined? I mean, there's the personal side of it. Then there's, if you've got entrepreneurs or business owners right. involved, there's the business side of it. Why don't you address those issues?
Right. So I think one of the things that might surprise some folks is the extent to which family lawyers that practice at a certain level really are become semi-experts in business valuation and other more high-level finance issues, because part of one of the primary jobs of a court in the middle of a divorce is to decide how to equitably divide the marital estate. An equitable division is something that we do not have a formula for in Georgia. There are lots of factors to it. I can tell you, and I tell my clients frequently, is absent something crazy, it will be close to 50-50. It may vary by single percentage points. And in really extreme cases, it could be a more lopsided division. But in cases where we have businesses, and we have those type of cases frequently, you know, first you got to decide, is it a marital asset that is even subject to division? And then we have to decide, okay, if it is, then what is it worth? And it's amazing that depending on what side you're on, one side's going to go, it's not worth anything, right?
Of course.
And the other side is going to say it's worth the moon.
Right.
So we work with many financial and forensic accountants. There is a whole area of accounting that focuses on business valuations with generally accepted practices. And we argue about which methods are more appropriate and which, you know, what we're going to, the comps are going to be, but we do that a great deal. And judges to a varying degree are good at taking that professional testimony and evidence and deciding how it's going to be divided up. You know, if we're dividing a business, what do? Do we give one of the spouses more from another pot of money and have the spouse more involved in the business walk away? Or do we have some type of payment plan over time? There are lots of ways to handle that business division as part of a divorce.
That's an area where emotions can really mess things up too, right? Because I mean, certainly we've talked about the children, but emotions can get the best of you when it comes to dividing a business and destroy the value of that asset. And that works against both parties.
Absolutely. And I can't tell you how many people I say, you know, we really don't want to put that out there because it may impact negatively that business, which hurts you in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, people can be as emotional about money as they are about children.
Mm.
They can be as irrational about money and businesses as they are about children, and they can work against their own self-interest if they don't have a good advisor to pull them back and say, look, that's not in your financial best interest in the long run. You may get a short-term hit that makes you feel good, maybe a dopamine hit for a second, and then you're going to hurt your long-term financial best interest.
Mm. So let's get to back to COVID-19, the pandemic and stay-at-home issues that are kind of happening right now. I've read stories about folks that were on the verge of a divorce, and here this stay-at-home directives hit. What kind of advice do you give to folks that are in that situation and that are really the die is cast, they're planning on going through with it? How do they get from here to there during this time?
That's interesting, because right before this, I was on a call with a woman in her car hiding, making that phone call, sheltering in place.
Oh, wow.
With a spouse trying to make that decision. Mm. I will give you a cautionary before I even get to what they need to do. The levels of domestic violence have skyrocketed in the midst of the shelter in place orders. Mm-hmm. So if you have a friend in a district attorney's office who spoke to the police, who said without hesitation, their number one call right now is for domestic violence. Mm. So everybody needs to be aware that when folks is back against the wall, certainly if they've had a history of domestic violence, it's more likely, or even people who have never done it, you don't know what could happen. So be careful. Mm. In a case without that, what I tell people is, oh my goodness, I'm sheltering in place with somebody that I want to leave. I tell them to do some preparation work, right? And what's most important for both sides in the marriage is that everybody is familiar with their family finances. You know, you and I just walked through briefly some of the financial exploration that we do as part of divorce. But what's really important is that everybody understand the financial universe. Mm. And so you can spend this time to get documents, figure out balances, gain access to bank and credit card statements. If you've got past copies of tax returns, any records with regard to property, because ultimately you having that information will reduce your litigation costs. Mm. Otherwise, you will pay me to get it for you. You will pay banks for subpoenas once you have to subpoena it. So do a little discovery in your own home, you know, if you have joint finances. Another thing folks can do is go ahead and gather potential evidence if you have it. If there's text messages or school records or, you know, potential witnesses, you can be thinking about that. I think one of the most useful thing people can do is to begin to think through what does not being together look like anymore. Oh, I have to get my own health insurance. Maybe I can go on the exchange and begin to price that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to live somewhere else. What are the rental rates in Alpharetta right now? And you can get that information. So you can do a lot of pre-planning to think through, what is my budget going to be? Mm-hmm. Because what's terrifying is to go through this process and not know what you're going to need. But you can do some thoughtful thinking about what I'm going to need going forward as a single person or as a single person with children. So those are some general tips for what you can be doing right now.
What about the courts? Where do the courts stand right now? Are they operating, or are they like everybody else going through Zoom, or how's that working?
Well, that's an interesting question. So the Supreme Court of Georgia just extended last week the emergency order that was in place. It's extended to May 13th. Prohibiting all but essential functions in the courthouses. Mm. So, and strongly encouraging virtual hearings and whatnot. So we are not having civil trials right now. There are some judges, for instance, in Fulton County that are doing some trials on one on Facebook Live, I think one on YouTube. I've heard of hearings going forward on Zoom. Hmm. Because think about it, you know, our courthouses are open. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've had a lot of my colleagues have gone crazy over the thought of family law cases being on Zoom or being on Facebook Live. But, you know, anybody could walk in a courtroom down at the Fulton County Courthouse and see any case that was going on. You know, my concern is that it's on Facebook Live, somebody records it, and crazy people show it to the children. That's what I really worry about.
Right.
Or put it out there to hurt the children's dad or something like that. So the short answer is court is open in a limited fashion. Certainly criminal is going forward and has adapted very well. The Georgia Supreme Court, I think, is doing oral arguments via Zoom, I believe. So we're adapting. And every week we're adapting more. And I think I have a calendar call, which is when you've got herds of lawyers and clients appear in front of one judge who has all those cases. And I have a calendar call Tuesday morning on Zoom.
Mm. Gotcha. And you mentioned that certain cases go right to the top in terms of priority. I mean, I assume those cases involve some violence or something that's life-threatening or what have you, that those will be dealt with as expeditiously as possible under the circumstances.
Right. All the courts have provisions for issuing temporary protective orders mm-hmm. and the issues of domestic violence. Criminal cases have provisions for going forward and doing arrangements and whatnot. Depending on who the judge is, if you have an emergency in another family law case, it's going to have to be a real emergency, not just he's letting his girlfriend see the kid and it's not a shelter in place order, that the judge is not going to think it's an emergency, but there are provisions for a limited number of emergencies to go forward. We have private alternative dispute resolution mechanisms, and I would urge people, if they already have attorneys, to consider using those, either mediation or arbitration, if we want to move cases forward mm-hmm. in light of what's going on.
Right. Obviously the folks have been put out of work. Businesses are suffering with declining revenue right now, or maybe none at all. How does that work in terms of obligations to, an ex-spouse?
So with regard to, it works primarily with child support, because we have an income shares model in Georgia that is based on child support, based on the share of income each parent has. And if you have an involuntary separation, you could be entitled to modifying downward that child support obligation. Mm-hmm. I would urge folks to go ahead and file a modification to make sure you sort of lock in place your claim that you need for that to occur, so you don't continue to accrue arrearages on child support. If you have an alimony obligation, your final order or your settlement agreement will say whether or not that is modifiable. So some alimony obligations are not modifiable. So a change in financial circumstances would not impact that. But that's going to depend on the document that orders it initially.
Mm. Speaking to the need of having good legal counsel to begin with when you go into these things, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, at the very beginning, you know, in addition, I talked to you about equitable division and I talked to you about kids in custody. The last two thing a court does is determine the amount of child support and determines whether or not spousal support in the form of alimony is available.
Hmm.
So, yes. So good representation from the beginning is very important.
So how does it work with you, Dawn? I mean, your office is in Tucker. You're obviously in DeKalb County, but the way family courts are, they're county based, right? So you work in numerous right. counties, I assume.
Right. My office is right on 285.
Okay.
And so I practice in all the metro counties. I even practice outside the metro area, but I am in Cherokee, Cobb, Gwinnett, Fulton, and DeKalb all the time, and Clayton and Fayette to a differing degree.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that is, my office is in Tucker, but we are all over the place with a great deal of familiarity with the judges and the courts in those metro areas. And I think it's really important. I would urge people that you want to make sure whatever lawyer you get knows that county and those courts and those judges, because we got all these little fiefdoms, all these little personalities, and it's important to know who the judges are.
How do you, as a potential client, determine that, though? I mean, that's always been mysterious to me.
So I think that, I think you can look at how long somebody's been in practice. Mm. I think you can look at reviews. Mm-hmm. I believe that I, for one, am a member of something called the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, which is an organization that you have to test into to display your knowledge. Mm. There are 40 of us in Georgia. There are a couple other, or one other organization that is sort of the in of court for folks that have exhibited an ability in this area of the law that is a little more advanced. Mm-hmm. So I think word of mouth, I think reviews, I think look at what their experience and participation is in some, you know, not just, you know, best lawyers in America, but something like the American Academy.
Right. Not what you're saying is, and I'll put this in layman's terms, not the beauty contest, but something that involves certification.
Right. Right. We don't have a certification process in Georgia. I am still working on that and pushing some of the law schools. Mm. But we do have something like, you know, I had to take a long test that I studied weeks and weeks for.
Right.
To know what I know.
Right. Because when you're talking about being a member of an organization with, or certification may be the wrong word, but you've passed a test that only 40 other attorneys in Georgia have passed, that says something right there. So,
either says I'm a nerd and I study a lot, but, or maybe it came a little easier to me because of my experience as well. So I was able to apply what I was learning to the experience I'd had.
So if folks, we'll get to your contact information in just one second, but how does it work? So I've got an issue. I think I need your help. It involves a conversation, I assume.
It does involve a conversation. I think it's really important, one, because you need to feel comfortable with the person you're talking to. Mm-hmm. That person needs to feel comfortable with you. Mm-hmm. You know, I will tell you, if you're coming to me because you want every pound of flesh out of your potential ex-husband, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you some other names because I'm not your gal. Mm-hmm. Because I don't do it just for the pound of flesh. And I'm going to advise you on really likely outcomes. Mm. So I'm going to meet with you in an initial consult. You can email me or you could call and we'll set up a consult where we're going to spend some time. And I'm going to, all these things I told you to prepare with, to the extent that you have that information, I can give you an even more detailed strategy and course forward. If you don't have it yet, that's fine. I can talk to you generally about things. And then see how you feel. You need to feel good about that person. You need to feel good about their responsiveness. Will they be responsive to you? Do they have attorneys that work with them that might bill a little less per hour that can do some of the grunt work, you know, some of the basic work as a way to maximize your dollar? Mm. I don't believe a family should have to spend their entire marital estate to get divorced, but there's some folks that do, and they'll gladly take your money.
Mm. Well, Don, this has been great. And you've really put some great information out there. So thank you. But for those that would like to be in touch with you and maybe take you up on that consultation, tell them how they can be in touch.
So the best way would be to go to my website at smithlakelaw.com. They could also email me at dsmith@smithlakelaw.com. Or they could call our office where we have folks answering the phone, which is 404-909-8300.
Awesome. Don Smith with Smith and Lake. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John. This was lovely.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Folks, if you have got some other headaches that involve something a little less sticky than spouses, and that might be administrative tasks in your business, bookkeeping, marketing. Maybe you've got a presentation that needs to get prepared on Zoom or something, right? Well, I've got an answer for you that involves calling up Office Angels and engaging a smart and reliable Office Angel. They're not a temp agency or a placement firm. Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who fly in with talent and experience to bring to your business, and they help you on an ongoing or as needed basis. They lend a hand when they're needed, and they fly off when the job is done. And by the way, they've been virtual from the very beginning, so none of the environment that we're in right now is going to phase them. Give Chief Executive Angel SC Escobedo a call at 770-442-9246. SE is awesome. I do work with her, and she will help you out, I assure you. Just a quick note that you can listen to this show on all the major podcast platforms. That would be Apple, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Overcast. I could keep going, but I won't. But you can also go online to NorthFultonBusinessRadio.com and check out our archive of shows there. We're up to 220 or something like that shows, 500 guests over the last 4 years. And we've got some great business leaders like Don in our archive that you can search and check out. Check us out on social media as well, folks. North Fulton BRX on all the major platforms there, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. So for my guest, Don Smith, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.